Hey, hi, hello, and welcome to my beauty industry enthusiasts, content creators, and brand visionaries. Get ready to step into a world where beauty meets business, where the creator economy blends seamlessly with strategy. I'm Sonia Elise, and this is Lip Service, the podcast. We're about to redefine the way that you think about the beauty industry. From the boardroom to the makeup room, we're leaving no stone unturned. Lip Service is your backstage pass to the beauty industry's best kept secrets. Now take out your notebook, fill up your emotional support water bottle, and swipe on your favorite lip gloss. Let's get into the episode. Welcome back to Lip Service, the podcast. Today we are joined by a very special creator, a membership member, an amazing woman and person I call friend, Sherry. Welcome, Sherry, to the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Sonia.
Absolutely. So if you don't know Sherry, she's a big deal over on TikTok at CSwan6. If you know, you know. She's just absolutely ruling the over 50 crowd over there, and we love to see it.
Yeah.
But before we get started on chit-chatting about your creator journey and what led you to TikTok initially, I would love to know what is on your face today.
Today, I'm wearing the Danessa Myricks Blur Balm.
Okay.
What else? I'm actually wearing a Daniel Sandler blush that I'll be doing some reviewing on, OG makeup artist brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I have Sigma eyeshadow and Citizen lips.
I love that. I love Citizen Cosmetics.
I love Citizen.
Yes, they are represented by a friend of mine who is actually on the podcast.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah. Really, really great. Very, very first episode. PR agency is so wonderful that he owns. And yeah, you definitely should connect. They did a fun gifting.
Oh, that's amazing. I love what they stand for. Mm-hmm. I mean, their formulations are next level.
Yeah.
But I really love what they stand for. You know, they're always looking to get back there. And they always focus on a particular aspect of culture, world issues. So I really, really love them.
Nice. And I'm also wearing Danessa today as well. The blurring, I did it on my eyes and lips today.
Which is that rose and brunch?
No, I actually have Dancing Queen, which is much darker.
Oh, yes, it is.
So you can say I have it on my eyes.
It's amazing.
I am obsessed with this formula. And when we go to the makeup show, I will be buying all of the other colors.
Yes. The day she sent me all the blushes, I was like, okay, that's it. I'm done. I've achieved all my goals.
I can retire again. I love it. Okay. So next question that we always ask everyone, if tomorrow was the last day, you are deceased, you're going down under or up above, down under as in under the ground.
I mean,
not down under in the bad sense. Right. Down under as in
we need to change that line.
You're going under. What product do you take with you to the afterlife?
Colleen Rothschild Tinted Illuminated Eye Cream.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Love.
Do I just get one?
You just get one.
Well, hold on a minute. I didn't know I just got one because then I would have to almost take a mascara.
Mm-hmm.
And it would probably be YSL Lash Clash.
You love a lash.
In blue. Because,
of course,
we're done, right?
We're done.
It doesn't matter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Excellent answer. Okay. And then lastly, where are you getting your creativity and inspiration from right now? What resources are you using?
So I take a lot of inspiration from nature. I watch a lot of one of my pastimes. It's like some people watch trash TV. Some people, my vice is I love to watch makeup artists. So, you know, if I can watch like a Danessa Myricks video of her doing makeup or Pat McGrath at a fashion show or Katie Jane Hughes layer these different like formulas and textures. And that's kind of where I take inspiration. You know, I'm so glad that skin is in finally, you know, and all of the different like textures and where it's finally cool to be able to walk outside and see skin, you know? And so at 50, that's always such a, such an amazing thing to be able to do, right? And so I take inspiration from a lot of different places. In the spring and summer, I really like to play with a lot of color. And so, you know, my Miami roots come back. And I'm like coral and lime and orange and all the things.
Great. Okay, we love it. Well, let's dive into the episode. So I'd love for you to explain to the audience, who are mainly beauty creators and beauty industry favorites, where did you get the idea to get started on TikTok in your 50s? What sparked it as I want to start creating?
Yeah. And so it was actually my daughters who pushed me into doing this. Mm-hmm. You know, my youngest daughter said, you know, mommy, everywhere we go, people are always asking you something about your hair or how you threw that outfit together or where you got this or whatever. And you should really do a video. And I was like, no, TikTok is for kids. That's not my thing. It's not really my thing. And then my oldest daughter was like, you know, it's not like you're scared of the camera. Like most people have to overcome that.
Yeah, that's so true.
So you know what? They said, just do a video. I didn't know how to post a video. I literally had to wait for my daughter, who was a senior in high school, to come home. She said, record the video. This is how you put it in drafts. And then I would wait for her to come home so she could edit it and post it.
Oh my gosh, so sweet.
And so we did that for about 2 weeks. Uh-huh. Yeah, we did it that way. But you know what what kind of inspired me to do it was, I feel like, you know, at times the content creation market can seem really saturated, yeah. Right? It's like we're seeing the same old things over and over. And while that's good, because it's not to say that content shouldn't or can't overlap and that there's not value in that, because as people, like, we just are drawn to certain people, maybe more so than others.
Sure.
It's like, you know, I can hear the same thing 20 times and all of a sudden my girlfriend tells it to me and it's like the first time I've heard it.
Of course.
So that's certainly valuable, but I started to, there was this gap in the over 50, not so much skincare, because that was already starting to become really kind of mainstream, but in makeup. And the gap wasn't what you would think it was, or what I would think it was, which was just a lack of beauty creators. That wasn't the gap I was seeing. What I was seeing was there was a gap in taking tips, tricks, techniques as they relate to makeup that the 20 and 30 year olds are rocking and adjusting that to 50 plus. So what I was seeing, you know, with of course few exceptions, and my God, so many people have blazed the trail. But what I was seeing is that they were using kind of the same techniques that a lot of the younger creators use. And I knew as a trained makeup artist that that was not going to look good 5 hours later in natural daylight. And so I kind of started this, you know, it was kind of like, we can still participate in the trends. We can still do electric blue liner. We can still do glitter.
Sure.
But let's tweak it or modify it. Maybe we're using a cream instead of a powder. Maybe we're participating in the technique, but we're keeping it more concentrated to a specific area of the face. Like maybe we're, you know, if we want to do like lime green, maybe we're throwing it in the inner corner instead of, you know, all out with, you know, diamonds and rhinestones. So that was kind of why I started it. It was like, listen, we can still do all the things. Like, you know, we can still wear the mini skirts and the wedges and the this and the that and do all the makeup things. We just have to modify and adjust so that we look good in real life. You know what I mean? Because that's the goal. Anything looks good for 5 minutes on a video.
I love that. I love that you saw a space and not only did you want to move it forward, but move the conversation forward, join people. You know, you're recognizing you're not the only one. You're not the inventor of the wheel. But I think more is more when you want people to, you know, really recognize that there is another way to think about things, another way to do things. I think a lot of creators stop themselves from starting a new journey or a new content idea because they're like, oh, well, other people have done this. And that really doesn't matter.
No. It doesn't matter.
So then once you started to get going, what was that journey like? Like, were you posting every day? How fast did you get your followers?
I've always posted every day. It's been about 13 months now that I've been on TikTok, but I've always posted every day. I just got myself into that routine. And what I would do was, it seems like if you tell people, oh yeah, post every day, it seems, it can seem daunting. But because my channel concentrates more on tips, tricks, and techniques. What I would do is I would just put a full face of makeup on, which is what I do every day normally. Mm-hmm. And then I would film base. Mm-hmm. Let's do a base. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to my eyes, I'd say, let's film an eye look. Then when I got to blushes, bronzers, contour, I'd be like, this is the difference between bronzer and contour. Why do we do this? What about this? Should we do the sure. lifting technique? Mm-hmm. What's more flattering for our face? And so I was just in the course of just putting on makeup, doing a full face and getting 7 or 8 videos out of it.
Amazing. I mean, that is how so many, especially if you're in the makeup world, if you are in a skincare world or you do both, of course you have more right. things going into it. But if you're breaking down putting on your makeup into 8 videos, that's fantastic. Yes. That's really wonderful. Yes. And when did you start to see like a tipping point? When was the first like influx of followers?
You know what? I didn't even know. So I was kind of, my situation was a little bit unique because I wasn't on TikTok prior to posting my first video. Mm-hmm. So I didn't know who anybody was. I had 0 people that I followed.
Sure.
I had no idea what I was doing. I literally created a TikTok account because my daughter said you should post a video. So I downloaded the app, mm-hmm. posted my first video and had no idea. And so to me, when I got 500 followers, I thought I had like arrived. I'm like, 500 people care about what I say? I've got 4 kids that don't listen to me. So it was like, and you know what? I'm really grateful for that because I think that we can forget mm-hmm. how big 500 people actually is.
Absolutely.
And so I wasn't yet jaded mm-hmm. by following, you know, I hadn't been around social media as a business. And so I literally created content for those 500 people.
Yeah.
And I was so grateful for them. You know, even today, I'm like, 44,000, like it's mind blowing to me.
Yeah.
But even today, I don't create, would I like to have 100,000 followers by the end of the year? Sure. But I create content for 44,000 people, mm-hmm. you know,
yeah.
And it's just, you know, and I think I told you this in another conversation, but this was going to be my year of yes.
Yes.
Like I was just going to uh-huh. say yes to stuff.
Yeah.
It didn't matter how crazy or outlandish. I wasn't going to let myself get in my head about it. I was just going to say yes. Mm-hmm. And so many wildly wonderful things mm-hmm. have happened.
I know. You really have quite a year. I mean,
yes.
Well, before we get into the milestones, do you think that part of the journey is a little bit easier for you because you are over 50? Do you think that there's a sense of like, I know who I am, I don't really care? Or do you think that people over 50 who are creating struggle with the same, you know, how will I be perceived, all of that stuff that everybody else?
Yeah, I definitely think that being over 50 is a gift in so many ways. Because see, at 50, like we've tried all the things. Mm-hmm. We've done it at least once.
Yeah. And if you haven't, you need to get there already.
Right. And so we when you are over 50, mm-hmm. you have an absolute understanding of a lot of things. What works for you, what doesn't. What you're willing to tolerate, what you're not. Mm-hmm. You become very good at setting boundaries.
Yeah.
You become, because you know who you are. It's not like, oh, I wonder what it would be like to, you know, jump out of an airport. We've already done that. We're not doing it at 55. Like, yeah. No, we're done with that. So that is definitely a vantage point to be able to create content. It's like, sure. Even when people say terrible things online, I turn those into teachable moments. And then that's how Sassy Swan came to life.
Yeah, Sassy Swan so is fantastic.
Like, yeah, this is who we're not going to be. Mm-hmm. See that person? We're not going to be that person.
Yeah.
And we turn it into teachable moments and it's become kind of a comedic, you know, playlist mm-hmm. for sure. But yeah, it's like, we're not like, so for me personally at 55, like this is what I will say about being 55. My sense of self-worth and value is not at all tied to your opinion of me, whether good or bad. So if you think I'm the best thing since they started to slice pizza, I don't develop any value from it. Like that's not where that's not my worth. And if you think I'm the worst thing in the world, same.
Yeah. Wow.
And so it's just kind of like, you know, there is that confidence about just having lived a lot of life, you know?
Yeah, that's amazing. I mean, I hope that other creators who are younger or even your same age who are struggling with that can listen to this and take that as a memory.
Yeah, and you know, one of the I have a lot of younger girl women that follow mm-hmm. me. And it's interesting, but one of the things that I hope younger women mm-hmm. get from my content is, girl, there's going to be a time when you aren't going to care either. Mm-hmm. Just do it. Whatever it is, do it. I told my daughter that the other day. She goes, well, should I do this? Should I do that? I go, you should definitely do the thing. Do the thing mm-hmm. and fail at it because you're 22.
Yeah.
Because you, what you don't want is to be 56 and go, what would it have been like if I had done the thing? Do the thing.
Yeah, that's such good advice. I love it. Let's get back to the accomplishments that have come. So you've been doing content creation about full time for like 13, 14 months, you said.
Yeah.
What are some of the recent peaks? I saw you were recently featured in press more than once. And
I know.
Flown to New York. Tell us all about it. What are like some of the peak
moments?
Yeah,
I actually don't do content creation full time. I have a full time job.
Yes. Sorry.
No, that's okay. But I think I've talked to you about this mm-hmm. offline, but I don't know how the things happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how the things find me. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. If I knew, mm-hmm. I would be really living it up because mm-hmm. I would know what that magic was, but that's, you know, sure. I don't know. And so a brand found me, Erasa, love Erasa. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, you know, we're doing a campaign. We want to move the conversation forward on mature beauty. Mm-hmm. And we actually want to have mature faces in our campaign. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I mean, you would think that would be like the norm, but we all know it's not.
Yeah.
And they said, let us fly you out to New York. And so it was the coolest experience.
So great.
I mean, I'm still like, did that really happen? It was so cool. And it's a wonderful, I mean, I wouldn't have done it if the product wasn't fantastic.
Sure.
But it's just such a great team over there. And to see how, this might not be a big deal for you because you're in this, you know, industry. Mm-hmm. But to me, like, I'm an end point consumer. So to see how that product gets from here to print to social media, it was just like there's so many moving parts.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really cool. And it's been an amazing experience. And then I was contacted by Good Morning America. And they're like, hey, we're doing a series on Older and Bolder. Can we interview you? I'm like, okay.
Good Morning America. That is huge.
I know.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I definitely think a lot of the opportunities come from, you know, your attitude of just saying yes and trying other things and just keep moving forward. It's a wonderful attitude and, you know, energy to bring to a space. It's so amazing. Did you ever picture anything like this? Like, did you have any goals set for yourself when you started out?
Never, mm-hmm. ever. I mean, I told you, like, when I got 500 followers, I had exceeded my goal.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I mean, and then I thought, like, this is how naive I was.
Yeah.
I thought that since that video was a full get ready with me,
mm-hmm.
I was kind of done because, like, I've told you everything.
Yeah.
And so people will be like, hey, can you break down that lip liner? And I'm like, I already did that in my first video. Like, I didn't realize
that they
you just had to keep doing the same stuff over and over and over. So for like 6 months, I was literally tagging everybody who asked a question in my first video where I had covered a full face. I'm like, here's all your questions.
I love it. You're like, please see video one.
The day that I figured out you could respond to a comment with a video, life changing. My life was changed that day.
You're still learning. I love it.
But I was so naive. And that's the other thing, you know, at 55, I'm not really in a position that often to learn a totally new skill.
Sure.
And that's been really cool. Like, I've had to learn social media language. I mean, I mm-hmm. think I've called you and been like, what are these initials? What does this mean? Like, I don't speak the language. and like, just learning like different things, you know,
sure.
I mean, you've taught me so much. Working with you has been such a valuable part of how I, you know, move forward with doing what I do. But mm-hmm. But, and I think that the service you provide is just really amazing, especially for people like me that come into
this
without any knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And so I didn't know, you know, you don't know what you don't know. And so I've had to learn to edit and cut out dead spaces and like make video. I mean, I'm Cuban. We don't do anything in under 3 minutes. I can't talk to you about anything in under 3 minutes.
You're like, how do I edit myself?
So I was like, well, yeah, when TikTok took away the 10-minute feature, I was like, okay, I guess I'm done. I have nothing to say.
I have to log off now. We're
done
closing
here.
It all. I'm closing it all down. Oh my gosh. So funny.
Yes.
Okay. Let me get into a few more questions that we asked some of our creators here. What's one thing you wish people knew about being a content creator? Like, what's just one general thing that like people really don't understand?
So I would say one thing that I don't think people understand is that this is a lot of work. And in the beginning, it's just fun. You're just having fun because you're doing what you love and it turns into a video and then you say goodbye and you go off and live your life. But as you grow and as you continue to do this, you are going to have to ask yourself a lot of questions along the way. And if this is not something that you absolutely love, you won't stick with it. Because I don't think I ever anticipated the 100% amount of work that it is. Like, it's actual work. I have to set aside days to just answer emails.
Sure.
And, you know, depending on your particular work ethic, you know, I'm really particular about my brand, you know, like what I want my brand to be aligned with, which is good quality things. And so it's a lot of work. There are ebbs and flows to everything. And if you don't love it, you'll be gone at the first dip, you know? And so it's that love for it that helps you weather all the bad stuff, you know? And I also, you know, it's such an interesting dynamic that every content creator is only all too familiar with. This is the only job in the world where people expect you to show up for work every day. Mm-hmm. And they are surprised when you're paid for it.
It's so true. Oh my goodness. Yeah. I think that's a great point about, you know, you do have to show up, you have to be consistent. It's so much work.
Yes.
And if you don't truly love that work, you won't make it because you're just like, you're going to be creating out of a place of misery, which is not. Even if you keep doing it and you force yourself to keep doing it.
And I don't do this full time. I have a whole other job I do full time. And so this is like, it's something that I love. Listen, I would prefer to do this like all the time. Yeah. I will never do this full time because I never want, number one, I never want this to turn into something that I'm dreading.
Yeah.
And number two, because it's a creative job, right?
Yeah.
And so you can't sit a painter down and say, paint.
Yeah.
A painter paints when he paints.
Yeah. That's true.
And so number one, it's creative. And number two, it's like, I never want my sole stream of revenue to be dependent on what I'm doing. Like, I love that I have a full-time job because I can say whatever I want to say. If this is good, it's good. If it's not, I can tell you about it. And it doesn't matter that the brand doesn't want to work with me because I don't use that to pay my bills.
Sure.
And so to me, that's always going to be a very important, like, I will never do this full time. I mean, I'm 8 years to retirement, so it's going to be my retirement plan, but I would never like do this full time. I mean, I have so much respect for people that do, you know?
Sure. And I tell people the same thing. This is a fantastic creative supplement to a job that is nice, or maybe even you feel fulfilled with your full-time work.
Right.
But if you don't and you're missing that outlet, this is a great job to have because you can walk away, you can take a break, you can say no to a brand, and there's no pressure. It's fun money.
Right.
It's, you know, it's all just because you enjoy doing it, which is a wonderful
exactly.
place.
That's such a good point
to be in. Okay. Next question. Who are some of the creators you really look up to right now?
Oh gosh. Well, that's been another gift of TikTok, right? Mm-hmm. I have met the most amazing women on the planet. Like, these women, I mean, we've been in relationships for just about a year. A lot of us have met each other in person. I talk to them every single day, because let me tell you one thing about being a content creator is your normal friends, they don't understand what you're talking about.
No.
They're like, what?
Yep. That's why we have the lip service chat, because other people do not get it.
They don't get it. Yeah. And everybody's like, oh, that's cute. Yeah. Like, no, it's not really cute. It's like what I do.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool. But, you know, I love a lot of creators. I love Michelle Spieler, you know, women that have blazed that trail for me to be able to stand up here and even do what I'm doing. You know, had she not done it, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And so Leah from Maxine's Revenge, I always say my favorite thing is good products and good humans are my favorite combo.
Oh.
And so Leah from Maxine's Revenge, Jamie Glam Latte, Christina No Age, Mary Skincare Over 45, Tanya the Travel Nurse.
Yeah.
You know, just so many inspiring women beyond the content they create.
That's
They're
so
just
nice.
Inspiring women.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been such a gift.
Yeah. Wow. And speaking of like your family and your other community, how do they feel about you spending so much time online? And like, are they, I'm sure they're supportive.
I'm telling you, girl, I met my husband when I was 47 years old and it took me that long to find the right one. He is amazing in every way. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes I do lives, you know, when I'm up, like, you know, typically I like to be in bed by 9:30 or 10, but since I've been doing this live schedule and this and that, like sometimes I don't, you know, it's 11 o'clock at night and I'm just getting to bed. He will pick up like any gaps, like he'll do dishes or he'll bring home food if he knows I'm alive or, my kids are my biggest cheerleaders,
all of them.
They're like, I think they like that I get drunk elephant PR, but that's another.
I'm sure. Oh my goodness. And what are some of your favorite things about the beauty industry as a whole right now? Like, what are you excited about?
I mean, I'm so excited that it is the time where people are focusing on mature beauty.
Mm-hmm.
Like all of the, even luxury brands, which you would think they would focus on mature beauty, because let me tell you, like when
dollar
my
signs.
Daughter wants a $50 bronzer, she calls me. So I love that we're having those conversations, that it's no longer something that you have to hide behind a filter to do. And for the first time, like we are able to show up for ourselves in a very genuine and raw way. And we've been doing that for a little while, but now brands are starting to be like, oh, you know, like I got PR from YSL. I'm like, oh.
Yeah, they see me.
That's and
great.
so many people, you know, even the Good Morning America article, I think was largely like women doing these amazing things over 50 in a lot of different spaces, nutrition, social, like a lot like fashion, nutrition, IT, all of these things, like women over 50 have taken to social media and
love
we're not
it.
The golden girls.
Love it. No, definitely not. Let me tell you, I've seen your looks. I've watched your videos. The golden girls could never. I love it. Okay. So as we start to wrap up, one thing I always ask is there's so many creators. I'm sure you think that there's still a long way to go on your content journey, but there's so many people who look up to you. What sort of advice would you give early on creators, any age, any niche? What are some like pearls of wisdom that you would leave?
I think that when you create content, you have to think about your content in terms of selflessness, right? And so in the beginning, that was one of the best piece of advices that I got. Selfish content only works when you are big, when you have a huge following, and then people will go and spend the day with you while you visit the local bagel shop. But until that time, nobody cares. So consumers are there to either be entertained, educated. Like, so when you are producing content, you need to ask yourself, what is the value that you're adding to the space? What do I hope people get from this piece of content? And then maybe instead of like, you know, I've certainly struggled with this, like instead of just being like hard on yourself to post that two videos a day. Like, take a step back and just say, I'm going to really focus on quality now. I'm going to get my lighting set up, my microphone, my, like, it's going to be a quality video over just posting. And, you know, I think that videos, like, my evolution has certainly, like, I think it's really gotten, and it's always something I'm tweaking. Like, oh, that line, I don't know. I think I need to turn this way, shift that way. I don't know, but I just recently redid my background and, like, yeah, I'm just constantly, I watch my own videos.
Sure.
And I see and I go, oh, I don't like that, the mm-hmm. way that shadow is in the Smart. Background. And so, be very critical of your content, because content has gotten very good. And I think that if you want to be successful as a creator, you have to ask yourself, what is the value that I'm adding? Why am I making this video? Mm-hmm. And is the person receiving it that's consuming this video, is it a pleasant experience for them? Or am I talking about concealer and my whole face is gray because my lighting's not yeah. good? You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah. Interesting. That's very good advice. I love it. Okay. And besides that, in the future, let's say it's 10 years, you're 65. Do you still want to be creating content? Where do you see
yes,
I love it.
Absolutely. Yes.
Good. Yes. And what are some
At
things that you really want to have?
We're still going to be rocking the long hair. Mm-hmm. We're going to be wearing silver kitten heels. We're going to be doing all the things.
I love it. Do you think you'll be back in Miami? Will you be like living
no,
life?
No, I will never be back in Miami full time. Mm-hmm. My patience level has dropped since I've gotten older. But I do go back a lot. I have a lot of friends there. I love to visit there. I mean, it's always going to be home to me. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, you know, in 10 years, I'll be spending a whole bunch of time there.
Yep. You'll be in like a beautiful caftan with like a matching eye look. I can feel
yes.
it.
Yes. Mrs. Roper, who?
I love that. Well, thank you so much, Sherry, for joining us
today.
Thank
you for having me, Sonia. You're such a delight.
Oh, so are you. And I know that when people listen to this, they will hear so much inspiring information and just reminders of why they're on this journey. So I really appreciate you sharing with us.
That's awesome. Thank you, Sonia. Thanks for having me.
Bye.
Lip Service Creator Hotline. How can I help you?
The Creator Hotline is now open, and we are starting today off with a question from a Lip Service member in our Geneva chat, Felice Waters. Felice asks, I'm not in an area close enough where influencer events are, but recently I've been invited to events that are far away. What is the best way to negotiate and discuss the issues of the ride? This is an excellent question, and honestly, not one that gets asked enough, especially since there are so many creators who are not in major cities. Post-COVID, we saw a huge burst of creators who lived in smaller areas, whether that be suburban areas or just areas where there was less access to large-scale events. We now see a lot of brands popping up in smaller towns, less talked about towns, but that doesn't mean it isn't still a journey for many creators to make it to their event. I would not be shy in this scenario and just respond back that you would love to attend the event. However, it's X away. It's an hour commute. It's an hour and a half commute. And then just ask, is there any opportunity for travel reimbursement? That leaves it up to the brand to either say, yes, we have a stipend of X amount of dollars to reimburse you for gas, or many of them have Uber or Lyft credits or gift certificates that they already work into their event budget. It just depends on how large the event is and how well prepared they are and knowing that they're inviting creators from farther distances. So thank you for this question, and I hope it helps many creators who are in more suburban areas. Our second question comes from Anita Bowling, one of our Lip Service members and a recent graduate of the Spring Content Challenge. Anita asks, I would love help with identifying scams. Oh, such a common issue. Other than not a Gmail address and not sending them money up front, what do I look for exactly to validate if something is real or not? Also, maybe not an outright scam, but just a bad offer or not a brand to work with. this is an area of education I wish I could do so much more of for creators, because the creator universe is so vast and there are so many scams and just really bad deals. Here are a few red flags for me. Number one, Anita even mentioned it here, the email coming from a Gmail. If it's a very popular brand, this happens a lot, Rare Beauty, YSL, Elf Cosmetics, Danessa Myrix. If you get an email from one of those brands and it's someone's name at gmail.com, or it is the brand name at gmail.com, or PR brand name at gmail.com, no brand uses a Gmail to reach out to creators, period. It's coming from an internal contact or a PR agency. So I would be saying red flag number one, likely immediate to trash. Number two would be if the insert your name here section says anything like, hey girly, hey babe, hey friend. If for some reason the format of the outreach email, or if the cadence of the email seems very off and like it may have been translated into English from another language, it could have been created by AI or a chatbot, then likely it's a scam or probably just not a great offer. Unfortunately, a lot of offers come auto-generated from overseas. And because these aren't real relationships that you're building with brands, likely it's just not worth your time. I'd also really flag anyone who wants you to purchase the product and you get reimbursed, anybody who wants you to pay for shipping of the product because it's coming from overseas. Those are all no-goes in my book right off the bat. That's not to say that those are necessarily scams, but they're just not great deals for creators. In addition to that, anyone who wants you to sign a contract in exchange for a gifted product, I'd likely say no thank you and move on. There is such thing as a gifted partnership, which means that you guarantee content in exchange for the product. But most of the time, that should not include a contract unless you are doing that exchange for a very specific service. This happens for teeth whitening, doctor's offices, facials, massages. You might have to sign a contract for an in-kind transaction like that. But if someone wants to send you an eyeshadow and they're asking for a contract to be signed in order to send that gift, that would definitely be a red flag in my book. I hope these tips help you in identifying what might be a very bad deal or a scam so that you can avoid, and save your time and energy for things that matter. Don't forget that if you would like to submit your own question to the Lip Service Creator Hotline, this is an exclusive asset for our creators in the Lip Service Geneva group. It's absolutely free to join, and we would love to see you there. Thank you so much, as always, for listening to Lip Service, the podcast with me, Sonia Elise. If you just can't get enough of me or this podcast, which I know is the case, please follow me on Instagram and TikTok at sonia.elise. That's SONIA.ELYSS. In addition, it would mean the world to me if you could rate and review this podcast and just let me know what you think. As a thank you for being a listener, I will be selecting a monthly winner to receive a free one-on-one session with me. All you have to do to enter is screenshot the podcast and share it on your Instagram stories, tagging myself as well as at Lip Service World. If listening to this podcast has inspired you to invest in your journey as a beauty creator, don't forget that you can get my eyes on your account with a custom profile audit. It's $35, the same as a Stanley Cup, but it adds way more value to your life. Don't forget that sharing your life online can spark joy, so just hit post. Catch you on the next episode.